Okay. Every profession has its hazards, occupational hazards that are involved in any occupation. So, for example, if you work here in the construction business in Eretz Yisrael, and you're a builder, they're probably going to ask you to build on a rainy day, on a windy day, and there's a good chance, you know, you'll slip and you'll fall off the building, and it happens, and the government is aware of this. They try to, you know, give kinasot, make sure the kavlanim don't make the workers work, you know, in difficult, in bad weather. But that's one of the occupational hazards of being a construction worker in this country, is that, you know, we are planning on becoming rabbanim, mechanchim. There are also occupational hazards in chinuch, in rabbanus. They're not connected to your own personal safety. Unfortunately, it's often the safety of others. You're put in a position of power, of influence. You can do great things with that influence. Unfortunately, sometimes people, even good people, end up doing really terrible things. And so I thought it made sense, you know, as smicha students to be aware of this, to start thinking about it. In general, I think it's always good to speak to experts. So I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a social worker. I think it would be kedai, you know, when I was in smicha, they didn't have a class about this. Maybe they do now. I know they revamped this program in the States. Here, it's pretty limited. We have pastoral psychology. Maybe it's kedai to speak to Dr. Levitz. Maybe he could give a class or classes on this topic. I think it's an important issue that has to be addressed. Obviously, it's easier to ignore things like this. You know, it's uncomfortable. But the mitzvah is, the experience shows that when you ignore things, they start to fester. They don't go away. You know, often they come back, you know, with a vengeance. So it's important to be, you know, aware of this issue and try to address it. So, like I said, I'm not a professional. It could be some of the things I'm saying are not accurate, but at least I want to begin the conversation, and hopefully you'll be able to get, you know, proper guidance as you further your careers in Rabbanus and Chinuch. I just want to start off by saying that this is not, you know, a problem for a particular type of Jew. Oh, only in Satmar, they don't go to college, that's when this issue comes. They'll say, only in YU, they go to college, they're so open-minded. This is a pervasive issue. It's Rabbanim, it's Mechanchim, it's Haredi, it's not Haredi, it's Eretz Yisrael, it's Chutz Laaretz. There's no, you know, escape from this. The Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Yisurei Bia, "Ein lecha davar b'chol haTorah kula shu kasha l'rof am lifrash ela min harayis v'abiyas asuras." The most challenging mitzvah for most people is arayis. Amu chachamim b'shah shenitztav Yisrael arayis bachu v'kiblu mitzvah zu b'taromis. When the Jewish people got this mitzvah, they were upset. U'b'chia shenemar bochel mishpachos aval iskem mishpachos. Amu chachamim gezel v'arayis navshe shal adam mitzav elohen. It's in the human condition that people are interested in gezel and in arayis. It's an amazing thing. Think about what it was like in Europe before the war, you know, the way they tell the stories. It's not true. Ein lecha, right? You have just a little history for that, but I'm saying, ein lecha kahal, ein hamotze kahal b'chol zman v'zman she'ein ben prutzin barayas u'bios asuros, v'amru chachamim rov v'gezel mir barayas v'kahal v'avok lashon hara. So, just to, I guess, describe the problem, I'm sure most of you are aware of it. The reason I decided to speak about this now is because anybody who opened the paper last week found out about this well-known, you know, open-minded Haredi author who is supposed to be helping children, and he wrote all these books. I have some of his books in my home, and really quality stuff, you know, emotional intelligence, and, you know, even protecting children from predators, and he turned out, again, according to allegations, we don't know what's going to be, can't, you know, judge a person until the dust settles. Let's see what actually happens. But it's not just one woman, but a number of women who are accusing him of sexual abuse, and again, the minute there's more than one claim, the chances that there's something here are much, much higher. Now, again, there are different scenes. I mentioned before, America, Israel, those who remember, you know, the NCSY affair many years ago. We were right next door to Michala. A couple of years ago, there was a Rabbi in Michala. There's nobody who escapes it in the Tzioni Dati world, Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva HaKotel, one of the up-and-coming stars, you know, and the Rabbi in Sfat. Again, you can go on and on. I don't need to, again, I'm sure you're familiar with some of these cases. I don't think it's necessary to know all the ins and outs. Some of these cases, it's clear that these people were doing terrible things. Sometimes they deny the allegations, and it's not so clear. Even if they people deny the allegations, and you know, it's still usually it's just dvarim b'go. And even if they're mamish and totally innocent, it just the lazus vasayim, the chilul Hashem that's created, you have to be careful as a rav, as a mechanic, to make sure that you're not falsely accused. Even you know, even if we're not talking about a person who actually did these terrible things. Now, I want to emphasize that I don't think these people were all rishayim. They did terrible things. I think that they were probably, at one point, wonderful, idealistic people who went into chinuch and rabbanus, like us. And that's what makes it more scary, because a person could be a good person. And if the person was rotten from the get-go, okay, so I'm not rotten, what do I have to worry about? What do I have to be careful about? But if a person was a good person, who did good things, and then got into difficult circumstances and complicated and lied and whatever, and then ended up doing these things, that's why we have to be more careful, because this chas v'shalom, could happen to even good people. I think that's I think it's true. I mean, again, I'm sure some of them really rotten from the get-go, but I think many of them weren't, and you have to be aware of that, and it's frightening, but I think it's important to be aware. The Gemara says in Sota, every sin comes from Ruach Shtus. So you have a situation where a person is normative, normal, and Ruach Shtus comes and takes them away. And we have to be aware and diligent that that shouldn't happen. Shouldn't happen, Chas v'Shalom. If you look at the Sfarim that some of these people put out, really quality Sfarim. Like, you know, and it's not just like intellectually, like they're good vorts. Some of these people wrote like Musar Sfarim. And like, was it all fake? I don't think it was all fake. I think that they really wrote and they did good things. They also did horrendous and terrible things. So I think we have to, like I said, be aware that a concept of Talmid Chacham Shesarach, he's not a Talmid Chacham, he's a Talmid Chacham. He's Talmid Chacham Shesarach. And you have to be very careful not to reach that point, Chas v'Shalom. Many years ago, there was a Maisa in one of the Yeshivot Techaniyot here, and one of the Rabbanim was touching the boys. And somebody in the Haredi world said, oh, he's a Tziyani, you know, the Lumi Lechol, you know, again, trying to sort of Avi, who was a person with a lot of breath. He said, he was a Gadol. Gadol? Called a Gadol Imenu, Yitzhak Gadol Imenu. And what Avi was trying to point out is that don't think that, oh, it's only if you, this Ashkafa or that Ashkafa, it's a Nisayan. It could be a Nisayan for anybody. And I think it's important to be aware of that, to own that. Because only if you realize there's a problem or a potential problem could you be diligent to make sure that you solve it or you don't reach that point, Chas v'Shalom. Again, the list goes on and on. Question?
I'm just asking now, rather than get into what leads people to do that eventually.
I'm going to discuss how we can try to stop it. That's the goal. I mean, you can just tear Kriya. You open the newspaper, you tear Kriya. Every time you tear Kriya, again, the goal is that we shouldn't have to tear Kriya. We shouldn't have to tear Kriya. We should be able to make sure that our Rabbanim, our Mechanchim are really only doing good. And unfortunately, sometimes they do terrible, terrible things. Again, it's always terrible. But when it's a Mechanich, a Rav, who's supposed to be doing good things, it's all the more painful. It's all the more, again, in this case with last week with this fellow who was, you know, an author who's trying to help kids, you know, and then he hurts the kids. It's even more jarring, and the Chilul Hashem is even greater, you know, when it's a from person, v'chulei, v'chulei. Maybe I'm dating myself, but there was a cartoon, G.I. Joe in the 80s. So knowing is half the battle. So knowing is half the battle. Just the awareness that there's a problem, I think, is already something that could help us, you know, be vigilant. In avoiding it. The Rambam that I began with discusses a number of Eitzahs, and I want to read the Rambam together with you. The Rambam writes like this. He starts off with the Isser of Yichud. The Rambam says, be very careful with Yichud. A person is always makran Yichud, 100%, so he won't be nikshal in Yichud, meaning you're not going to have relations outside, meaning it's not... Again, it doesn't solve everything. A person can not be makir, you could, and then eventually, you know, try to go to a hotel. But like, if you're makir even in the hotel, you're always makir, you could, you won't be nichshel. Dolei chachamim hayu omrim l'talmidei, hisiru bi b'fnei biti, hisiru b'fnei kalasi, kedei l'olamei l'talmidei, shalei yispayishu midavar zev, yisrach min hayichud. So the Chachamim would say, oh, it's a shot of Yichud of my daughter-in-law. In order that to attract us to the daughter-in-law? No. In order that they should recognize that people are, you know, we have a Yetzirah for our eyes. It's part of why Kosh Baruch Hu created us. And you should be careful. So being Makana Yichud is very, very important. I heard from Schechter that even though there's certain kulas, Pesach Pasua, people know, familiar, dating. So don't rely on these kulas. Yichud, in our door, at the parted store, you have to be super Makana Yichud. So if you're very Makana Yichud, you'll certainly solve yourself a lot of problems. I had a professor in college, it wasn't from YU, from professor, and he told me that he was very makbid on Yichud, and he would never meet with his students in his office, only in the library, in the cafeteria. And he said he had a friend who was also a from professor who ended up in a lot of hot water because he wasn't makbid on Yichud. So being makbid on Yichud is certainly, it's a halacha, and it's also a lot of common sense. It's the Rambam says, the Gorim HaGadol. It's actually interesting that this author last week denied the allegations, and people came to his defense. Unfortunately, people have a hard time when people do so many good things. It's very hard to live with that, you know, dissonance that he did such good things, and now you're saying bad things about him. So one woman said, oh, I saw him he was my therapist, and we were in Yichud for hours and hours, and he was very professional. Which, of course, got into a lot of hot water because he had claimed that it can't be because he never was in Yichud ever with any patients. So, you know, the woman tried to help him and he ended up, you know, anyway. So it's very, very simple. You know, I know somebody who became a principal, this Orthodox rabbi became a principal in a conservative day school. First thing he did is he got rid of the door, put in a glass door. Said protect himself. He said, I don't want to be accused, falsely accused. So you have a glass door. You keep the door open, or you have a glass door to make sure that you're not in violation of Yichud. And that's, like I said, it's just to protect yourself. Because today in our day and age, you know, you can be falsely accused also. You know, and even if it's you're dealing with not a female student, a male student, they'll also accuse you. It's not like our world's mamish. It's like a free for all. So you have to be very careful in all directions, both. You know, in order to avoid chas shalom abuse disorders, and also just to protect yourself, you know, in terms of false accusations. Chazal tell us, the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol, you know, was Kohen Gadol for 80 years, they became tzaduki. So you never know. The Yisara for these things is very, very strong, again, for arayas, and we have to be super careful. Again, it doesn't solve all the problems. Because, you know, there was a rabbi in Washington, again, Musmach of Ar Yeshiva, who put a video camera in a mikveh. I mean, it's like hard to, you know, these are sad realities. So Yichud wasn't his problem. He was maybe Makana Yichud, I don't know. But you can still get yourself into a lot of problems, even if you're Makana Yichud. There are other things the Rambam tells us that you have to be careful about. The Rambam writes, V'chein yinog l'israfek min ha'schok min ha'shikrus m'divrei agavim she'ilu gorim gudolim v'heim malos arayos. Speaks here about three different factors that we can help us in avoiding arayos, in addition to the Gorem HaGadol, in addition to Yichud. First, the Rambam writes, "Inag l'hisrachik min aschok and hashikrus b'divrei agavim." You have to be very careful to avoid, you know, any connection to arayos. Right? We have an internet. So you have an internet filter. Right? It's something that should be so pashut, but unfortunately, it's not. People, you know, feel like it, again, sometimes it's annoying. I have a filter in my house. It's annoying. Sometimes, you know, you want to see something. You know, you want to book a flight on Virgin Atlantic, and like suddenly they won't let you, you know, book a flight. Whatever the case is, you know, but. It's worth it. It's worth it. You have to be very careful. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, he brings down this brisa. There are certain things that are ma'akiv tshuva, which means it makes it very hard to do tshuva. It says, Chamisha dvarim ve'oser san ein cheskasu lashuv. The five things a person does, it's very, very hard to do tshuva. Shem dvarim kalim ve'ini rova adam. The things that people don't think are so serious. V'nimsa chotehu v'hu yidmesh ein lochet. He's sinning. He doesn't think it's so bad. Eluhen. Hamistakel barayus mala odaito she'ein b'kach chlum. Person looks at arayos. He doesn't think he did anything. He didn't touch anybody. He didn't hurt anybody.
There's
The istakos itself can bring a person to the veira atzma. So we have to be very careful from any nidud of arayos. It's certainly an important yesod. Additionally, the Rambam writes, v'liyeshe v'liyisha, which means a person's remarried. Again, some of the people here aren't married yet, Mitzvah Shatova, but once you get married, you're married. So it's not just once you're married, you know, you have to also be happy and satisfied with your relationship with your spouse. Sometimes a person is married, but they're not satisfied emotionally, they're not satisfied physically, and it's really important that the couple has an open and honest conversation, you know, obviously sensitively, about, you know, expectations, about what is important to each of them. And if it's not enough, there are therapists, you know, there are sex therapists who can help people work out their, you know, issues. And they're from sex therapists. And it's very, very important that the person is sexually satisfied. Because if you're not satisfied, you're going to look elsewhere. So that's certainly also important. Again, I'm not going to discuss all the ins and outs, but it's certainly worthwhile to make sure that people are satisfied in their emotional and intimate life with their partner. The truth is, this is not only a question of the relations. It's a question of self-care in general. This is something I heard from a therapist who's a renowned therapist, who said that the studies show that people who don't take care of themselves often abuse others. Meaning, a person can be giving and giving and giving, but they don't take. They don't take vacations. They don't sleep enough. They don't eat enough. They don't take care of themselves. So here they are, all this serious nefesh, all this giving, and then since they're not filling their own, you know, love tank, so they end up abusing others. So it's important, you know, when people are in positions of you know, essentially higher levels, administration, things like that, there are often really a lot of demands, but a person has to know how to take care of themselves. If you don't, you know, what do they say on the airplane? If you have to put the oxygen on yourself before your child, right? You have to take care of yourself. You know, take care of yourself. So then the studies show that these are the people who unfortunately end up sometimes abusing others. The Rambam continues, Gedola mikol zos amru yifne atzma b'machshavto l'divrei Torah. A person should, you know, be obsessed with learning. I heard from Rav Aaron Kahn, he said, the Rambam here quotes the pasuk of referring to the Torah, you know, that it's ilas echein, the pasuk is trying to show how the Torah is attractive, meaning the Torah is attractive, it's more attractive than other things. But again, it's hard to reach that madrigal where a person is totally, you know, obsessed in learning that they're not going to be taken by Arias. But again, part of it's also self-care. If a person is always just giving shiurim, you know, I learned dafyomi just for dafyomi. I don't learn dafyomi to give over. If my job was to give it dafyomi shiur, that wouldn't be my own learning. It would be, you know, a person has to make sure that they're not just giving. They're also, you know, able to give themselves. And to take. And I think that's also important. Now, there's more to it than that. That's what the Rambam says. Something that I've noticed, common denominator, some of these people that I knew some of them, who were involved in some of these scandals, is the question of gaiva. A lot of these people are very, very talented, very charismatic, and they're also very gaivatic. You know, the ability to reach out to seek help, to talk to a friend, a colleague, you know, that's important. Because these things don't just, you know, start, they snowball. Meaning, and if a person's slipping and he's not able to reach out for help, so then, you know, it could snowball. Rav Ephraim Goldberg, who was a rabbi in Boca, learned here in the Kollel many years ago, before my time, has a blog, and he interestingly wrote in, he was like celebrating, I think it was like 10 years of being a rabbi. So he describes in his blog, I've been thinking about the rabbinate and what would be the greatest Achilles heel of our profession from which we need to be guarded and careful. It's very easy for rabbis to begin to take themselves too seriously and to believe somehow they're more important Their opinions matter more. They deserve more respect or honor than anyone else. There's an expression I hear regularly. I shudder each time and every time it is said to me. Rabbi, thank you for taking the time to meet with me or to call me back. I know how valuable your time is. I always respond the same way. My time is no more valuable than yours, and calling you back or meeting with you is exactly what I want to be doing right now. Many rabbis hear about their valuable time. They start to believe it. They therefore leave people waiting, stand them up, or fail to call them back. People come to rabbis with their problems, oftentimes with the expectation the rabbi can solve them. This phenomenon can leave the rabbi feeling like he has all the answers and access to all the solutions, and he is all-powerful. And this, what he calls the Achilles heel, I think also contributes to this reality, that a person feels all-powerful, no power corrupts. That's the part of the, you know, the reality. And, you know, it's important that when you're put in our place, and you have a spouse, you have, you know, colleagues, you have rebbeim, it's important to recognize who we really are, and hopefully that'll you know, give us the perspective instead of thinking we're all powerful, and then we can, you know, chas v'shalom, abuse others. Another issue is healthy boundaries. I think it's really, really important to have healthy boundaries in general life, but certainly in Rabbanus and Chinuch. On one hand, the Rav or the Mechanech wants to be involved. You want to make an impact. You want to have a relationship, and that's great. But you also have to know where the healthy boundaries are. And sometimes when you cross those boundaries, abuse can fester, abuse can begin. Now, sometimes the congregants are crossing the boundaries. So, for example, I know a Rav told me that a woman came to him with her underwear. She had a shayla. Okay. Looks at the underwear, nothing there. So it's fine. Again. So he thought maybe she had OCD, you know, because she's imagining that she has a keset. Turns out she doesn't have OCD, but she gets her kicks out of showing the rabbi her underwear. So, you know, that woman is crossing a boundary, meaning you have to know how to, you know, how to have clear and healthy boundaries. I know of a Rav who was counseling, you know, again, the whole idea of a Rav counseling, I'm sure Dr. Levitz speaks about this, you know, we're not professional. So even though you take, you know, Dr. Levitz, it's a great class, you have to know where your gulot are and how much you can do, how much you can't do, when to defer to a professional. But he was a kid in high school. His parents were going through a messy divorce. And the student was confiding with the Rebbe. But he was like kind of undercover because nobody knew about the divorce. So he wanted to like meet downstairs, like in the basement. And like he didn't want anybody to know about it. And then the Rebbe realized that I can't meet with him in a secret place. This is not healthy. This is not, you know, it's for myself. Meaning it's not in terms of false accusations, etc. It's always good to be aware, you know, to meet in public places, you know, give advice about shidduchim. You're going to give advice about shidduchim, you know, a Rebbe to teach girls. So you can give advice, where do you give advice about shidduchim? You know, if you're in the middle of Chadar Ochel, you know, you can give advice about shidduchim. If your wife is there next to you, you can give, but, you know, certain hours of the day, people call you, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning. Hey, I'm sure it's so important. I'll talk to you, you know, at daytime in the office, you know, with the door open. You know, it's just, you have to be smart. And again, a lot of times it comes from a real, genuine ratzon to give. You're involved, you care, they're in trouble, they have an issue, you want to help them. But you have to have healthy boundaries. And when you don't, unfortunately, things sometimes get out of hand. It's also important to daven. We say every day, and the Birkas HaShachar. Al tivyeinu l'idei chet v'l'idei aveira v'avon l'idei nisayon v'l'idei bizayon. And davening is very, very important. Being aware of the problem, davening that we shouldn't come l'idei nisayon is very, very important. We believe that tefillah works. Kosh Baruch Hu gives us Sat Nishmaya. But even people who don't believe tefillah works, you know, if you look at the Alcoholics Anonymous people, you know, all these programs to stop, you know, addiction, they always think you have to believe in something, you know, you make an affirmation. You believe in some type of higher power, you know, but davening that this shouldn't happen, if you are aware of the issue, and being aware of the issue, like I said, is sometimes, you know, half the battle. As I mentioned before, these things don't usually come out of nowhere. They usually begin small and they snowball. And it's important to reach out for help if you think you begin to slip. person has cancer, catch it early, they can usually treat it. Catch it at stage 5, it's already too late. So, having good chaverim, having rabbeim, consulting, is certainly very, very important. Right? The Gemara says, Ruhuna, kevan she'avar adam avera b'shanava hutrolo. Hetera of Ruhuna. You do something twice, you know, I think it's mutter. So not reaching that point, nipping things in the bud is very, very important. It's interesting, the Gemara at the end of Maseches Kedushin tells many stories of Amoraim, great Amoraim, who had certain nisyonos to the Rayas. And it's, why is it there? Why is it in the Gemara? You know, the Gemara has a story with Rav Amram, that there were some girls who were staying, you know, up in the attic, and he woke up in the middle of the night, and he took the ladder, it was a big, heavy ladder, and he started climbing up the ladder, he lifted up the ladder, it's going to be, and he called out, Nura Be'avram, there's a fire in Amram's home. And people came, where's the fire? It was an internal fire. He was thinking of doing an Avera. So he reached out for help. Again, sometimes it's embarrassing. Everybody in the city found out there was a Nura Be'avram. I mean, where's the fire? It doesn't have to be in the most public way. You can go to a psychologist, you can go to a therapist, you know, there are ways to deal with it. But reaching out for help is certainly very important. And like I said, I think the reason the Gemara tells these stories is because it's trying to tell us that we're human. Even greatest Amoraim had these challenges, but they knew how to deal with them. So, you know, knowing how to deal with them is really, really important. And I think it's important to emphasize that you shouldn't be afraid of a sexual urge, meaning a person is like, you know, fleishik, and they walk by ice cream store, and they say, oh, I really wish I would have ice cream. You don't get scared of that. That's just the reality. I'm fleishik, so okay, kind of ice cream. You know what I'm saying? It's like, sometimes people feel like, you know, if they have a sexual urge, there's something wrong with them. That's normal. You know, so if you're counseling somebody, and or you're asked the Shaila, and you see that was there a pretty woman, and you, so again, have the urge itself is not, again, it's not good. We don't encourage it. You have to try to stop it. You have to try to move away. But it's not something you have to, like, freak out about, I think. Meaning, you there's a mashal. There's a mashal with the Chinese parable, if I'm not mistaken, where this student is walking with his, you know, master, you know, the priest, on the side of the river, and there's a woman there bathing, and she starts drowning, and she calls out for help, and the priest jumps in, saves the woman, and the student is like, can't believe how can it be my holy master picked up this naked woman, and he's like thinking, walking along, and after half an hour he musters up the courage, like, you know, how do you do this? So he says, I don't know, I don't understand. I lifted her up, I put her down. You're still holding on to her. Meaning, you know, in terms of, if a person is counseling somebody and they feel attracted to them, so maybe it's a good idea they should stop counseling. But if a person is asked a shayla one time and the woman is particularly attractive, so you're attracted to her, okay, so you ask her a shayla, you move on. I mean, it's not, you have to have healthy boundaries. Like, again, you don't go with coffee with them, you know what I'm saying? But it's important to recognize that a sexual urge in of itself is not something to freak out about. It's just the way we are. You have to make sure that you don't act on that. You have to make sure you limit that to the best of your ability, like I said. So... this issue, unfortunately, is an issue that comes back every so often, and I feel like as rabbinic students, you have to be aware of it, and you have to be, like I said, you know, yichud, and all the things the Rambam says, and the other etzas, tefillah, and making sure to seek out help, you know, v'chule, these are very important issues. We should be zocha to become wonderful rabbanim, to help a lot of people, and only good things. Thank you.